Buying a Master Mechanics tool set usually means high prices, higher interest rates, and who knows how many years of monthly payments. But at GearWrench, we don't believe that your tools should take years and years to pay for. So check out Mega Mod Master Sets, the Master Mechanics tool sets that deliver pro-quality tools, organized storage solutions, an easy-to-use lifetime warranty, and much, much more. All for thousands less than you'd expect. So don't wait. Explore the sets and check availability now. Only at GearWrench.com.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz. Kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my
Glad stretch, feeling pine so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Lay. Sir. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they will see the thunder? Just remember when you come up, the show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS Podcast. It's Major Number 2 Week. We're here to preview it and more to get your DraftKings ready for this week's action for the PGA Championship. You can find me on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at AlwaysPressDFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFSGolfGods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
I'll just live in the dream. It's major week. It just feels weird because usually it's not PGA champ major time, and it just, I don't know, it feels like we just got off the Masters. This one doesn't seem as exciting to me as usual.
It's the worst major of the four.
That is true.
You know, I mean, it just is what it just always will be. It's never going to touch any of the other three. So, but it's a major, and you got all the big boys. You got a bunch of live guys who got invited. So it should be a good show anyways.
Perfect. Yeah, it should be fun. Should be fun to say the least. You know, it was fun last week watching Rory McIlroy just make us look like fools.
Yeah. And, well, we said it. You know, we already said it on the podcast. Like, he's going to win.
Yeah, but we're both not playing him. We're Xing him. And then I ended up, I told Jesse, like, I saw the ownership. I'm like, I'm going to play one. And then it comes out the ownership was wrong because he was heavily owned. And it's like the only lineup that I did well in. But Rory just showed why he dominates Quail Hollow and why Xander Schauffele does not drink coffee, because those are for closers and he's not a closer. I saw a stat that Xander, who finished second, for those not keeping track at home, that was just like 8 second place finish in the last calendar year or two, whatever it is. And Scottie Scheffler has 9 second place finishes, but Xander obviously doesn't have a win over that stretch. It's just crazy how bad Xander is at getting the job done.
Yeah, I mean, kind of woke up Sunday morning, hadn't watched anything, and DraftKings gave me a boost, and I was like, well, hell, I'll take Rory at plus money. You know, I mean, it was a two-man race to begin with. I didn't watch any of it. I know you're watching it right now, but that back nine from Rory on Sunday there, shoot 32 with a double on the last is
pretty good.
Pretty fucking good. Yeah. And just, you know, Xander didn't help matters with his 37 on the back with 3 bogeys and two birdies. So, I mean, you know, the writing's typically on the wall when Xander's in contention, and anybody who's got any kind of closing ability is also in contention. And that's Rory McIlroy obviously has closing ability because he's won a lot of golf tournaments.
Yeah, like it was funny before the show. I said, like, yeah, I'm watching the replay on Golf Channel. And at the turn, going to the back nine, they were tied at 13 under par. No one would believe you if they didn't watch and you told them, oh, yeah, they were tied with nine holes to go the way that final score was, because it was just one guy had it, one guy just wanted to go home, it seemed like. So rough go there. But otherwise, you know, Quail Hollow did Quail Hollow things. It was firm and fast and bouncy, and people on Twitter loved it. I did not get to watch a ton. I know you did not get to watch a ton, but is there anything else that stood out to you from anything you have seen?
No, not really. Just besides looking at the scores, I mean, it's incredible that Rory gets the 17 under and, you know, tied for 16th is one under, tied for 21st is even. I mean, he was playing a different golf course, obviously. And the fact that he had a 7-shot lead going into 18, still wins by five. It's just an incredible display of golf from Rory, because it's not like the scores were that great. There was a couple of 4 or 5 unders, but I mean, otherwise, a lot of guys were over par on Sunday, so it's not like it was playing super easy. So obviously, Rory got it figured out, and you know, whenever he does, he's been one of the best in the world for the last 20 years or whatever. So, yeah, it's 15 years, I guess. I don't know how long he's been on tour, but it feels like 20 years.
Yeah, it feels like a long time. He's one of those quote unquote proteges that started basically the second he was allowed to,
right?
And did his thing. It's still funny when they show pictures of him in his old days. Like, he's chubby, big old curly hair, kind of zits on his face. You're like looking at this guy going, he's the future of golf. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of was. But yeah, no, he got the job done. Like, we'll talk about some guys when we talk about some picks for the week, because like a guy like Sepp Straka continues to get the job done enough for his price point, especially. Like since the Masters, the Heritage, and now Quail Hollow, he's been top 10 in like everything. He's been very effective in those events. Jason Day made another sighting here. It was interesting, like you said, like Benny On was the top putter in the entire field, strokes gained putting, which is funny because we've talked about how much we love Benny On's tweet game these days. He quote tweeted something and had some fun with that, so that was good. But yeah, it was an interesting tournament because basically a 2-horse race that turned into a 1-horse race and kept going down the road to Kentucky, it seems like.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, it's PGA Championship week, so let's dive in.
Well, that being said, what do you have for some past event history, even though they are different golf courses?
Yeah, obviously there's a rotation. It's just kind of a weird rotation, but Brooks Koepka has won this 3 times. He won it last year, 2 shots over Victor Hovland and Scottie Scheffler at Oak Hill. Justin Thomas won this golf tournament twice. He won it last year 5 under in a playoff over Will Zalatoris at Southern Hills in Oklahoma. Phil Mickelson, 2021 champion, 6 under par. So he's won this twice as well. 6 under par, 2 shots over Brooks and Louis Oosthuizen. That was at Kiawa Island in South Carolina. Colin Morikawa was the 2020 champion in your neighborhood at TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, 13 under, 2 shots over Paul Casey, Dustin Johnson. Brooks Koepka won back-to-back, 2 different golf courses, obviously, 2018, 2019. Justin Thomas won in 2017. Jimmy Walker randomly won in 2016. Jason Day was a 2015 champion. Obviously, what does matter a little bit, Rory McIlroy won at Valhalla in 2014, he shot 16 under and he won by one shot over Phil Mickelson. And then the other time, semi-recently, that it was at this same venue, Valhalla, Tiger Woods won in 2000, was part of the Tiger Slam where he held all 4 majors at once. He shot 18 under in that tournament, and that was – he had to win in a playoff over Bob May. So, yeah, I mean, that's – pretty much it. I mean, there's really obviously 2 times it's been here in the last 24 years or ever, I think, going back. I don't see any other time that it's been at Valhalla. So, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yep, this is a fun one. I'm going to give the course stuff I know, and then Jesse has played this course as it's kind of in his backyard in a roundabout way. So it's the Valhalla Golf Club in Louisville, Kentucky. Jack Nicklaus design. We see a lot of Jack Nicklaus designs, especially in PGA championships. Wonder why. but got renovated after the 2014. Well, got rid of it twice, but the biggest one was after the 2014 Master or PGA Championship. Actually, it was after you played it, because it was in 2021 was the latest renovation. So you got that going for you. Par 71, a little over 7,600 yards. So that is a big golf course for a par 71. Of course, you got water in play on seven holes. You got bunkers all over the place. I saw 62 bunkers. Some of them are strategically planted in the fairway, not just around the greens. So you got that going for you. You're going to hear zoysia grass all over the place. That's a common theme of at least the fairways. You got bluegrass in the roughs. You have bent grass greens that are going pretty quick as well. Not huge green, not super like pebble greens, but not big. 5,000 square feet are pretty small greens, all things considered. But seeing some of the videos already on Monday, the rough around after the fringe around the green is pretty good. So I doubt you see a ton of roll off. It could be tough to, you know, chip it out of that to good stuff on the green, but you're not going to get a bunch like, you know, the Masters where if you hit it bad, it rolls off into this big area down below and you're in trouble type deal. So that shouldn't be an issue. Unlike other like massive golf courses, the three par fives are very gettable. If you can have, you know, go 320-ish off the, most of these guys can, a lot of them can, and be in the fairway. So you can get there in two on a lot of these, which you don't see in a lot of majors. You also have a handful of the par fours are in like that 460 or less range. Two of them are below 400. They're not drivable though, because like one of the popular holes is on the back nine. It's an island green. I think it's 15. And it's only 370-ish yards, but you have to like lay up to a certain spot to get on the island green, of course. So you can't go crazy with that. So it's just a strategic golf course. Most of the par threes are in the 2 to 250 bucket. Around, I think they average around 230, give or take. So long iron play. A lot of your approach shots will be in that 175 to 225 range as well off the tee. So long iron play will come into play. But it's fairway finders and then scramble and get hot with the putter, because it seems like a golf course that's very attackable for a major setup, but can also eat your lunch, which I guess is a good idea for a major. But what else did I miss on this golf course, Jesse?
I mean, I think you hit it pretty good there. I played it pre-COVID. I don't even remember what year it was. I think it was maybe 17 or 18, somewhere around in there. So it's been a long time, and I have very, very bad long-term memory. Against my wife, I don't remember anything. What I do remember, and what I anticipate this week too, is, you know, obviously this time of year, especially, we get a lot of rain in Kentucky, springtime, and it's the grass grows very well, and as evidenced by my yard outside, which I need to cut like twice a week. So I anticipate if you are off the fairway, it will be difficult. I've not heard. Have you heard anything about the rough length or what they anticipate it being? Have you seen anything about that?
I've seen it's around 3 to 4 inches. I think they want it to be around 4, but they cut it to 3 because with the rain coming, they're worried about being able to not cut it later in the week. Yeah, so I heard they kind of cut it down a little bit with the anticipation of it coming by game time, basically.
It didn't look too bad from what I saw, but it's bluegrass, I'm sure. So you can get a good lie. You can also get a really horrible lie. Just it's kind of luck of the draw. So I do lean more towards accuracy this week versus just pure driving distance. Now, obviously, if you can get both, that would be great, because it is 7,600 yards and it can play long. When I played it, yeah, especially if it's wet, you're exactly correct there. You know, I've looked at, and we were talking about this beforehand, the weather. I know it's going to be raining tomorrow, potentially Wednesday. I think there's a chance Thursday, chance Friday, chance Saturday, chance Sunday. So looking at the weather Wednesday afternoon to see if there's any kind of wave advantage would be ideal. But most likely it will rain at some point, probably maybe potentially all 4 days of the golf tournament. Long story short, I say all that to say this. I just feel like it's not, especially if you look at the scores, like Rory won, he shot 1,600. Tiger obviously is Tiger Woods, but he shot 1,800, and that was in a playoff over whoever the fuck Bob May is. so I've not seen it since the renovations, but from what I remember, it was not like incredibly difficult. Like I think Victoria National is a lot more difficult of a golf course, but of course the Corn Ferry Tour goes there and the winner's 24 under par. So my perspective and these guys' perspective is completely different. So long story short, I mean, I feel like it's kind of, like I said, accuracy a little bit over, but I do think this, I think it's going to be a 10 to 15 under winner this week. So birdie or better percentage, I do anticipate weighting more than bogey avoidance for the winner anyways.
Nice. That's interesting. Cause yeah, I'll have to see where things go as the week goes on. Cause I have like bogey avoidance in mind, but I could see that from what I've, like we talked before the show, what you're saying there, from what we're hearing kind of
especially
around.
If it's soft and then, then they're playing lift clean in place potentially.
If you're in the fairway, yes.
Right, right, correct, yes.
That's the kicker. That's where I was going to say your comment earlier about doing more driving accuracy over driving distance comes even more into play, because I think it brings a guy like Morikawa who might not – he still hits it far, not as far as others, but has really good long iron game. That right. could help give him a big boost over a guy. Like, if it was regular conditions, I probably wouldn't even think about – like, I don't have Morikawa to start right now. But that's a guy, if we keep seeing things get bad with the weather going farther on here, he would stand out to me, per se, in that kind of scenario, because he would get a boost in those kind of conditions. So
yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, a lot. Basically, what we're saying is we're going to give you what we think is going to go good for us this week. A lot could change with the weather, because the weather is just an absolute beast on any golf tournament, let alone a field that a golf course is supposed to be built up to have some teeth. Then you throw rain in the mix. Could get interesting. To say
very well could be, yeah.
Plus, it softens the greens, so they get slower, and that makes it more of a lot of.
Well, it softens the fairway. You're not getting the run out and into the rough on certain angles. You know, I mean, and then again, if they play lift clean in place, which apparently they're going to do, we didn't even talk about Xander's drop. Did you see that?
No, I did. Oh, out of the trees.
Yes.
Oh yeah, the most BS thing I've ever seen. Well, I can't say the most BS because let's be honest.
Yeah, there's been several more.
John Rahm's hit into a parking lot, and they gave him a free drop. So there's been some bad ones. But that one, like the Monday qualifier guy on Twitter, who has like one of the best golf follows, period, he quote tweeted and said, "For all you play member guests in the next month or so, if anything happens like this at your event, please videotape it so I can see the reactions of your friends telling you no."
It's true.
Yeah, that was bad.
It's egregious. But I mean, that, you know, that's just. That's just how they cater these guys. So if it does rain a lot, and it's supposed to definitely rain tomorrow, and I think Wednesday is a decent chance, lift clean in place might very well happen, at least for 100%. One or two rounds.
It happened for the first two rounds last week, and it rained on Tuesday or something like that, or Wednesday. I mean, it didn't rain. Like, I don't think really in tournament play that much, and they got it for 2 days.
Yeah.
So
makes sense.
Yeah. And the one thing I will say on the Xander thing before we get into picks here, is I think it's BS, but I'm not holding Xander at this one. The rules let him have it.
Right.
So I call it on the rules. Like, I think any of us, if they let us have it, we'd take it. Like, yeah. All day long.
I saw something where, like, you know, they need to amend that rule where, like, you have to hit the shot. If you hit the temporary immovable object, then you get to replay it.
I like that, actually. Because prove it's actually in your way. Prove it's in
your way. Did you see Johnson Wagner's whole replay of the whole thing?
He's amazing. He does these things beautifully.
Did you see it? Did you watch it?
Yes, I watched it on Twitter.
I mean, he hit it out. He got it up by the green.
Yeah, I agree. You should have to hit it. That's a great way to go about it. Like, we're already playing slow enough anyways. Every group seems to get put on the clock these days. So let's go. What's one more shot?
Right.
Prove it.
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been so cool if that would have happened. Would have loved it. But all right, let's get at it here. Let's talk some picks for the PGA Championship. It's 156 golfers. This is T70 in ties. We got a little backwards here, being the PGA. You have a lot of club pros here. Remember, the Block Party is making his return this year, for those that loved that story. He's already been all over Twitter. Don't you worry, folks. And that means there's like 20 other PGA pros at this event, too. It's the kind of guys we always say you can cross off unless your name's Michael Block, apparently. Then he can prove us wrong, but that's one in a million type stuff. There's some past PGA champions, and there's some other guys that actually have relevance. And we got Liv. Liv is back. And this kind of golf course favors a lot of Liv players, actually, which is going to be fun to discuss. Like, this is the kind of setup Liv golfers kind of enjoy. So let's kick it off here. We have the 5K ranges back this week because we have a large 10K and above range, because we have a $13,200 Scottie Scheffler. We have a $12,000 Rory McIlroy. Let's just screw this. Scottie Scheffler's 13-2. Can you play Scottie Scheffler at 13-2 and feel comfortable with yourself on this one? And he's there. He was hitting on the driving range on Monday post-baby, so he's playing golf this week.
Yeah, baby definitely is on earth. So that's good.
It's 100%. Probably at the Airbnb or it's back in Texas still. So we're
good. Yeah, I mean, I've thought about locking Scotty Scheffler in like a 20 max or something and just playing him in every one of them.
I don't hate it. I'm just saying like 13-2, and you can do it because I've heard some people put some lineups together. If you can find about 3-6K and below guys that you can sleep with, you can get some pretty sweet top three. Like if you go 50-50, basically, you can put just some fun stuff together.
Full on stars and scrubs, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I just want to throw that out there. 13-2, he's like in a stratosphere of his own. And now we can get back to the normal pricing on the board. But and Scotty ranks first in my model, probably first in Jesse's, probably first in everybody's. If it doesn't, check your model. Yeah. That's just what I'm gonna say. If like that's the more like take home message. If Scotty's not first in your model, check your model.
I agree.
All right, now we'll go to the rest of the field from 10K to 12K. We got Rory McIlroy at 12,000, John Rahm at 11,400, Xander at 10,900, Brooks at 10,800, Ludwig at 10,500, Morikawa at 10,200, Cantley at 10,000. Ludwig withdrew last week with the knee injury. There's people on site. I've seen people tweeting out watching practice rounds that he keeps grabbing his knee while he's playing. We'll see what that means. Maybe that's just somebody doing something stupid on Twitter. Very possible. But, you know, we won't get any information from actual writers on the PGA Tour. So we have to figure it out ourselves. Who do you like up in this range?
I mean, obviously, Rory coming off the win. I've seen some tweets about people saying that this is a really good comp to Quail Hollow. So it might be different conditions, though. I mean, and then Rory just has not performed well in majors in the last 10 years or however long it's been since he's won a major. I think John Rahm's super interesting. Talk about a guy who normally drives it straight, normally drives it long. Can get a hot putter at times if he can just keep his head cool about him. Obviously been playing on live, don't have any stats, don't really have a clue where he's been finishing. But I think he, of these guys up top here, potentially could be a little bit lower owned than the rest of them. You know, Oberg is a big question mark. If I was playing 150 lineups, I think I would still have like 10 to 15 just in case his knee is okay. But I would not be like super overweight on him because you don't want your weekend to be sunk when he WDs Thursday morning.
Yes.
But going back to what you said about Colin, man, I mean, he rates out pretty well in my model, coming in off a 16th at the Wells Fargo, 9th Heritage, 3rd at the Masters. You know, I feel like he's playable. He's hitting it decently well enough, I think, to contend potentially. And he's obviously a past champion too. Of the PGA Championship, it was at Harding Park. But generally speaking, you know, you get similar types of setups at these at each major. So, you know, having won already, you know, I don't know why he couldn't sneak in and win another. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. Obviously, Brooks, Xander, Patrick Cantlay. If you played those guys, I wouldn't talk you off of them. It's just not. I just don't. I'm not going to talk about all the guys and say you should play all of them.
Yeah, I like Rory this week, which feels weird after not liking him a ton last week, but we'll see because he's third in my model. He's like driving distance, obviously, is great. Par fours from 450 to 500 is great. Does pretty much what you want to see right now coming into this course. And like you mentioned, I've seen a lot of comps as well to the Quail Hollow setup, which is his favorite golf course on the planet. So that's interesting. I don't disagree on John Rahm. Like everyone's going to say he's gone to live. He hasn't won. The dude's been top 10 in every golf tournament. You might still laugh at that. Fine. But
who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
Hulu is coming in hot this month with new shows, new movies, and all new seasons of your faves. Don't miss FX's Clipped, the story of one NBA team's racial reckoning, starring Lawrence Fishburne. Stream a new season of Shoresy, the underdog hockey comedy that might just knock your teeth out. Then catch the high-speed drama Ferrari, starring Adam Driver and Penelope Cruz.
kick your streaming into high gear this month with so much new stuff to watch on Hulu.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my
Glad Stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted, where I felt adventure's pulse with every step, and where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Somebody that goes plays, Jesse, if you went and played golf at your course twice a month and you got top 10 every time, would you be pretty cool with that?
Yeah.
That's very tough to do. Like, very tough to do.
It is. He's not playing. I mean, obviously, half the field sucks, but
yeah,
there's some legitimate guys. To be that consistent is pretty good.
That's kind of my point. Like, the dude, like, might not be winning. He's been competing, he's in contending, and he's finishing in the top 10, which I think should have some merit to it. And like you said, the dude can pipe it and he can hit it darn straight. So there is something there. Brooks, I love. Everyone's going to love Brooks, though. Honestly, we might have ownership right now that I think about it. This came out a while ago. Let me click on that old button there because, yes, we do. Yeah, Brooks is projected to be over 20% right here. Scotty's still 17%. Everyone's playing Scotty Scheffler. Rom is the low man. Him, Morikawa, and Cantley are the low man in 10K and above. But I love Brooks. I think Brooks is going to dominate this week. Probably going to pick Brooks for one and done, to be honest with you. But, if you don't want to, I get it. Morikawa, if we do get the whole weather situation, I'm definitely going to be pivoting to him. He doesn't rate out good in my model, but it's probably because I weighted it too much on the approach game, which he struggled with before last week a bit, and distance. I had distance pretty heavy in mine. Ludwig is the one, man, you talk about a guy that can bomb a ball straight. Like, this just lines. Like, I wanted to play him last week everywhere. We talked about that last week. And then he goes out. I would love to play him, but if he's banged up, that's scary. And the last thing I'll say about Xander, if you look at Xander, second place last week, 18th Heritage, 8th at the Masters. Those are great. Problem is, they're not great for the fourth highest priced golfer in the pool. Like, he needs to probably win the golf tournament, or at least like top three, the golf tournament, which he did last week. But there's a lot to ask for in a field like this. So, it's tricky. I like Brooks the most up here, but there's some very, very good plays. As Jesse said, it's hard to kind of not like any. And if you wanted the contrarian Patrick Cantlay narrative, I'm not going to probably have any unless something really changes. But the fact he's projected to be less than 6% rostered up here is a little enticing. But if you want the narrative, Cantlay has dominated Jack Nicklaus golf courses. Muirfield Village, he has dominated Muirfield Village. He's played good at PGA West whenever he plays there. He does play well at those kind of layouts. So I guess something to think about if you want some kind of narrative to talk yourself into some Patrick Cantlay. 9K range, you got Cam Smith, Max Homa, Bryson, Wyndham Clark down to 9,500 bucks. Neiman, JT, the lost one known as Victor Hovland, Will Zalatoris, and then Cam Young. I'm actually surprised he's only 9K in this field. So who do you like in the 9K range?
Start with Bryson, man. I mean, obviously, we know he's got the distance, coming off a sixth place finish at the Masters. He's been another guy who's been top 10 in at least the live golf events that I have posted here. I think they just played one recently, didn't they? Didn't they just play one somewhere?
They played in China, Japan or China.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but anyway,
they were in the Middle East before that.
Yeah, so Miami 7th, Hong Kong 6th. Jediah 4th, Las Vegas 9th, Mayakoba 25th, but 6th of the Masters. I mean, you always had that one really, really good opening round of the Masters and then kind of didn't have any good rounds after that. But, at this price, it's 9,600. I think he's worth a gander. Windham. The form coming in is not necessarily what you want to see, but you know, with the 47th last week, but he was third at the Heritage. He didn't miss the cut at the Masters. Not great, but had two consecutive second place finishes at pretty tough tracks. The Players and Arnold Palmer Invitational. He just kind of comes out of nowhere when you don't expect it. It just randomly plays well. I feel like I can't peg him. I've not been good at getting him right. So maybe this is a time to fade him since I do like him. Neiman at 9,400. Obviously was playing really, really good golf a couple months ago on Live Tour. He played the Masters, finished 22nd, gets in this week. I think he's playable. And then Cam Young, dude, you talk about a guy who just drives it, you know, with the best of them. He did not have a good Sunday to finish 34th last week, but you know, at the Masters, he finished 9th. If you look at some of the other tougher golf courses this year, he's made the cut or, you know, been inside the top 20. So I think he's fine at 9,000. There's some, I mean, like, you know, are you on Homa this week?
I have him start for a couple of reasons. He's 24th in the model, which obviously doesn't make you, you know, warm and fzzy. Less than 10% projected rostered, but I see the 8th at the Wells Fargo, similar layout, plays well at Wells Fargo. Heritage struggled, 3rd at the Masters. It just feels like he's another guy that can put it together and like quietly put it together where other people are kind of overshadowing him. So it feels like, so I think he's a really good tournament play.
I like it.
We'll see. All right. Some other guys I'm looking for outside of Homa. I love Bryson. We're talking the form. We're talking the type of golf course. I know this is the frustrating part. The stats for Liv in this model are the last times the guys played on PGA Tour, which usually are majors only for the most of them now. Bryson's first in this field in par four scorings from 450 to 500, which is a big chunk of them. He's second in the field in driving distance. He's 9th off the tee, as you'd expect, 16th strokes gained total. There's a lot to like with Bryson, plus the form you mentioned he's coming in with. So I like him at 96. Windham at 95 is not bad. He's 14th in my model. So these are the kind of golf courses you want him for, these tougher scoring conditions, if they are. Now, you think it's not going to be, so we'll see how that plays out. But if it's a tougher scoring position, like thing like the U.S. Open, like the Players, this is where Windham shows up and makes some noise. Love Neiman as well at 94. He's 10th in my model again. I take that with a grain of salt. But 7th off the tee, playing well on Live, played well. Recently, would you say he was like 20th at the Masters or whatever? What was it? 22nd at the Masters. Yeah. So that's definitely one that I wouldn't mind at 9,400. And then I love Cam Young at 9,000. Like, I was actually shocked. His proximity from 175 to 200, one of the big buckets, he's 5th in this field, which I like to see. He's 14th in approach overall. I want to see that. He is 10, like, most of this 9K range is not owned outside of Bryson and Wyndham Clark. Most of it's all below 10%, which is pretty nice. But when you look at Cam Young, like, the finish is 34th at Wells, 62 at Heritage, 9th at the Masters. If you just go back and just look at his success in majors, he's like a T10, T15 guy, like, time after time, which means he's like, what was it, 3 or 4 holes maybe from contending when you really look at the grand scheme of things, which is, we're looking for GPP, we're looking for outliers like that. So Cam Young's going to give you a chance and maybe more at $9,000. So I like him quite a bit down here. 8K range, you got Fitz at 89, Spieth, Tommy Fleetwood, Hideki Matsuyama, who withdrew with a back injury, but was seen signing autographs on Monday at Valhalla. You have Sam Burns, Baby Swag, finished top 10 last week. Shane Lowry, Tony Finau, Tyrell Hatton, good to have him back. Make sure he's mic'd up, please. Sahith Theegala, DJ, and Patty Reed at 8,000. So who do you like in the 8K range?
Yeah, I mean, like, this is a weird range for me. Like, there's a lot of names, but not a lot of guys that I want to click on. Tommy Fleetwood, 8,700. If it is more of a par fest, he can definitely do well. He struggles more so in the putting contests, and I don't know. I just have a feeling, and I'm wrong a lot, that this is going to turn into more of a putting contest. But I think he's fine. I think it's a week to go back to Hideki. Was there any word as to why he actually withdrew?
He said it's back, but he's used back, that yeah. before. We've talked about this before, and you go right back to him, and he's back to being a top 20 golfer.
Yeah. I mean, I've got him checked off and actually bet him to win, I think, earlier. So, yeah, I mean, it's like one of those things where nobody's going to want to play him. But, like, who's more – who do you think is more likely to withdraw, him or Oberg?
By Oberg.
Yeah, that's who I would think, too. And then Hatton at 8,200. I don't – like I said, I don't like a lot of guys in this range, but Hatton is one that – I think is playable ninth at the Masters. Been playing just really, really solid golf on the Shotgun Start League. So, yeah, I mean, I like would love to play Fina. He played like shit last week. Thigala had one of the weirdest rounds I've ever seen last week. Yeah. He shot 82 after shooting 65.
That was rough.
You want to talk about something? I mean, that's just fucking crazy. So, yeah, I mean, that's... You know, if it is a difficult week, Patrick Reed would be in play. I don't think it's going to be. So I just don't like a lot of guys in this range. It's weird. There's a lot of
talk about a guy that likes to set his ball up just the way he likes it. Patrick Reed could enjoy some lift, clean, and play. Wouldn't be shocked by that at all. But Fleetwood at 87. I like the form just coming in with Tommy Fleetwood. 13th last week, 49th, third at the Masters, 7th at Valero. So that's three top 13s or better in four events. So I'm cool with him. Sammy Burns finished 13th last week, kind of fell apart at the end on Sunday. But if we're talking about a guy, he's got, you know, decent driving distance. The approach game's pretty good. It's just a matter of maybe putting a little better. But I like Burns at 85. You mentioned Hideki. Lowry's another one. He's just kind of boring. But in majors like this, especially if it's lower scoring, like if it's weather's nasty and stuff, like it's a Shane Lowry type event. And that's what you're looking for here. The finishes have not been great lately, so you're probably getting a Shane Lowry. Like right now, we're looking at 5% Shane Lowry, which is pretty sweet. So I could see that being good. Love Tyrell Hatton. I'm with you there. What's not to love about Tyrell Hatton, to be honest, at $8,200. And Thigala at 81, I'm tempted to go back to, though. I'll say that much. Like that was ugly. Finished 52nd last week, but second of the Heritage, 45th of the Masters. Like the year before at the Wells Fargo, he was what, top 10 or something, like really good. So he's so young. I think you can go back to him, or I get it if you want to stay away. It was kind of scary looking last week, but I think Sahith could be a fun one as well. All right, 7K range. This has a lot more stars than my thing. So who do you like here?
Yeah, start up top with Jason Day, coming off a pretty solid showing last week at the Wells Fargo, finished 4th. And he's a past PGA champion. I know you mentioned Sungjae last week.
Yes, sir.
And he certainly came through for you. 4th and 12th in his last two starts, and that was after two consecutive miscuts at the Masters and the Valspar. So Sungjae seems to potentially have figured some shit out with his game. So that's that potentially bodes well for this week, especially at that price. I mean, that's kind of a steal. Been on at 7,800. Just keeping with the Pacific Islander / Australian thing range here. I mean, like all these dudes, all Koreans or Australians from 7,900 to 7,700. How weird is that?
Pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy.
Corey Connors at 7,600.
Now we go Canadian. Yeah, still into the U.S. apparently.
Go into the Canadian range. Corey Connors, I think is playable. Don't like him as much if it's a lift, clean, and place putting event, but I think he's fine. You mentioned Sepp Straka beforehand. He is playing really solid golf. 8th, 5th, and 16th in his last three events. Those are all elevated events with the best players in the world, minus Scottie Scheffler and the Wells Fargo, but finished 8th still. So he's obviously got some pretty good form coming in. Russell Henley at 7,300. He did miss the cut in 2014 at this event. I don't really know how much that matters, but 10th here, 10th last week and 12th at the Heritage. Made the cut at the Masters, 4th at the Texas Open, so playing really solid golf. And then last but not least, $7,000 Dean Burmeister. Been playing live, coming off a win in Miami. Shotgun start win. 8th place in Hong Kong the week before that. So, I mean, you know, nobody's going to have any stats on Dean Burmeister or play him at $7,000. So I think it's worth a shot there.
I love Dean. Dean's a guy I played a ton when he was on the tour. He's always like 6,600 to 7,300.
Yeah.
I love him this week because he's a bomber. He can crush the golf ball. And the way, like you mentioned, his form on Liv, he's actually playing good golf also. He strictly went for the money because he was actually trending to playing well on the PGA Tour. Like, he could have had a pretty fun career here. He went for the cash. Not blame him at all. But I think I like him a ton at $7,000. That's one for sure. I'll go backwards. Keegan at 71. I just always have a soft spot for Keegan on challenging golf course. It's always boom or bust, but it's so boom, like Keegan could top five and he'd be like, yeah, that's Keegan Bradley. Like, he did it at Torrey Pines before. He just does it at golf courses out of nowhere. So I like him. If we're talking driving distance, is important here. Jägerbombs at $7,100. He's 16th in par five scoring, 11th off the tee, 13th in par fours, 450 to 500, which is very, very important. He's projected to be about 10% rostered, which not bad. But more importantly, you just look at the form: 21st, 20th, 18th. Like, he's for $7,100. Those are all really, really solid scores. So I'll take that. I don't mind riding the Noren train. Noren at $7,200. Not a big driving distance guy, but you know, bogey avoidance, he's great at par five scoring. He's 18th in the field, 12th in approach, 21st in the par fours. 450 to 500, plus 24th last week, third at the Byron Nelson, 23rd in Punta Cana, 14th of Valero. So before last week, not like the strongest of fields, but still putting together some nice form. You mentioned Henley, which is, his form is really good. I just never trust him on long courses, but I think I need to. Like, 10th at Wells Fargo looks good. Valero wasn't super short. He finished fourth there. So a couple of goods there. I love Sepp Straka, and you already hit on him. Like, I'm just curious, where is his projected owner? Only 7.4. Yeah, it just feels like he's had three.
6%.
Yeah, it feels like it's been like three straight really good weeks. You're waiting for the blow up. But, man, he's got that approach game on point. Connors, again, approach game there. And he plays quietly better than I expected on longer courses. 13th to Wells Fargo, you know, 38th at the Masters, 25th at Valero. So you can work with that. But the guy I really like, you mentioned like Sungjae, Benny, I like them. Siwoo Kim at $7,700. Ninth in my model. Driving distance sucks, but like par three is 2 to 225, 17th. He's fifth in par five scoring, 12th off the tee, fourth in approach, 10th in the par fours I'm looking at. And more importantly, with Siwoo Kim quietly, 16th, 13th, 18th in the last three events. It's the Wells Fargo, the Byron Nelson, and the Heritage, 30th at the Masters. He's just quietly getting it done. So I think Siwoo is another fun one right now, projected for almost 11%. So people are paying attention to Siwoo, but I think that's a fun one as well. All right, who do you like in the 6K range?
Aaron Rye at 6,700. Come off a fourth place finish his last start, which was the CJ Cup in Texas. Made the cut at the Texas Open, seventh at the Houston Open. Didn't play the Masters, but played the Players, made the cut there, finished 35th. So I think he's fine. Keith Mitchell at 6,600 seems to be striking it pretty well. Two straight top 20s for him, three out of four top 20s in his last four starts. Did miss the cut at the Houston Open and kind of in between a couple of top 20s there, but I think he's playing well enough. Taylor Moore, talked about him last week. He actually had a pretty good showing, decent showing, especially for 6,700, finished 38th. Did not have a good weekend, but has just been churning out May cuts all year. And at that price, at 6,200 this week, definitely playable. I mean, it could be like a Nick Taylor or Lucas Glover type of week. Phil Mickelson obviously finished second here a couple years ago. But if you look at Phil Mickelson's live starts, it's awful.
It's ugly. It's ugly.
He did make the cut at the Masters, finished 43rd. So I don't know how much I can trust him. Yeah. I mean, I don't like a whole heck of a lot in that 6K range there.
Yeah. Like, Maronk's a guy I'm kind of curious about just because he can pipe it. But I know his overall live success hasn't been like ideal by any means. But a guy like Seabez, $6,600. His approach game's playing really well right now. 16th at the Wells Fargo, 28th Heritage, 25th Valero. A guy like you mentioned, Killer Keith. You know, he's got a 20th and a 14th in his last two starts. He's on play for me. Kitayama at $6,500. He is a big-time driver of the golf ball. If it's lower scoring, he can kind of pepper it and survive. So he won the API and whatnot a couple years ago. Denny McCarthy, another really good finish, a guy I don't think about on longer courses. But last week at the Wells Fargo, 6th, finished 20th at the Heritage, 45th at Masters, 2nd at Valero. So a guy like Denny could be quite interesting to me at 63. Got Taylor Moore at 62. I got Glover at 61, who's quietly putting some, you know, 15th, 33rd, 20th at the Masters, 25th at $6,100, I'm in. And then I'm going right back to him. Taylor Pendrith, this is a dude that pipes the golf ball. Now, accuracy is not always the best, but 16th in driving distance. He's 7th in the par 3s, 2 to 225. Like he's 40th in the par 4s. Like he's doing 29th in par 5s. He's $6,000. He obviously, he had 10th last week at Wells Fargo, won the Byron Nelson, 11th in Punta Cana. I'm willing to keep trying it. Now, he could get way wire off the tee pretty easily. We're in trouble. But his driving distance, if he can just find that fairway and take advantage of some lift, clean, and play like they did at the Byron Nelson, he could, at $6,000, give you plenty of a DK support right there. 5K range, who you liking?
Start Mav McNealy at 5,900. Hasn't missed a cut since the American Express back in January. Not great finishes, but for the price, I would be willing to take a gamble on him. Kita Nakajima, fresh off an 11th place finish on the European Tour. He won the Indian Open, also European Tour. Another European Tour guy, Adrian Otegui.
Otegui, yeah.
First at the China Open last week or week before. And before that, two straight top 30s. So he's a guy at 5,700. He's won recently. Takumi Kanaya at 5,600. Man, I don't know. The model seems to like him. I don't know why. Jordan Smith. Now, this is a guy that I do know who he is. Two straight top 25s on the European Tour. Four out of his last five events, he's been inside the top 25 on the European Tour. And then Thurston Lawrence, also at 5,500. He played at the Myrtle Beach Classic last week, finished 36th. Hasn't missed a cut on the European Tour since before November. I don't even know when it was. Michael Block, 5,200. I'm just kidding.
Didn't see this one coming.
No fucking way, man.
I was about to go. I was ready for. I should have just been quiet. I was waiting for a whole selling point here.
No, I got nothing. That's it. I mean, it's kind of a sketch range, but
yeah, like usual, I'm going to try to avoid this range. But Jordan Smith at 55, I'm with. He's like 30th in my model. You mentioned the DP Tour success, which is great. I'm looking up his ownership. 4.5% is not bad. I know Mayo's talked him up a ton already, which is a bummer. But we'll see how that plays out.
That's, you know, Mayo's a sharp dude. So, but
oh yeah, I'm not against it.
I know what you're saying. I don't think he gets above 6 or 7. So I wouldn't really worry about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. EVR at 57. We were riding that train for a while, then it kind of got quiet, to say the least. With EVR, but 33rd at the Heritage, 55th at the Masters. He's $5,700. When he's on, the approach game is very good. Doesn't seem to be as locked in as he once was, but still first in this field over the last 24 rounds from 175 to 200. Decent, par 5 score. If you're looking for him, he's already won in the past calendar year. Matt Hughes at $5,800. He's 40th in my model. When you're looking at Matt Hughes, 6th at the Wells Fargo, 41st Nelson, 39th Heritage. Again, at 5,800, I can live with that. David Puig, he's $5,800 as well. He has not played much because he's been on the LIV Tour, but he's been winning on the Asian Tour as well, playing some really strong golf coming in here, so I think he's good at 58. So those are the main guys I see in the 5K range for me if I find my way down here. All right, let's recap things. Jesse, 10K and above, not name Scheffler.
I knew you were going to do that. Rahm.
I'm going Brooks. Chalky Brooks, 9K range.
I'll say Bison.
That's a great. I think he might be the pivot off of Brooks, honestly. And they're not the same price, but you know what I mean by the pivot part. LIV dude. I'll go with Cam Young at 9,000. 8K range.
Oh, sorry, I clicked off of it. I'm gonna say Hatton.
Yeah, if you didn't, I would. So since you did, I'll say Sam Burns. 7K range.
I'll leave Sepp for you, and I will say Jason Day.
There you go. Yep, Sepp Straka for me. I had a couple others down here. Like, I think we both like Burmeister pretty good, too, so throw that one back out there. 6K range.
Taylor Moore.
I'm going to go with, where was he? Give me Glover at 61. 5K.
Jordan Smith.
Yeah, I'm not even going to – I'll say Matt Hughes to be a little different. But, yeah, Jordan Smith's the dude down here. All right, if you're playing cash this week, what are you doing?
I think cash is very doable this week.
I think it is too.
You know, I think Fleetwood, Hatton, and Jason Day is a good place to start.
I was going to say Fleetwood, Hatton, and Sungjae. So we're in the same boat right there. I like that quite a bit. Now, if you're doing tournaments, what's the first three in your tournament build?
Yeah, so I'm going Scotty, Mav McNeely. Ooh. So that leaves us 7,700. And so, and then you throw in like Sepp Straka.
On mine, I'm going to go with Brooks, Bryson, and Hatton.
How much does that leave you per?
I'd have to go get my DraftKings app.
I'll do it right now. What'd you say, Brooks?
Brooks, Bryson, and Hatton. It can't be that
Bryson,
bad.
Bryson, Hatton. 71, 33. Yeah,
go get a Jordan Smith, and you're right back up there doing just fine.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Very doable with the 5K range. If you find like one or two guys you can handle in the five, even low sixes, you're going to be just fine this week. Building some happy lineups. I'll say happy lineups. Don't have to be successful, but happy lineups, to say the least. What else makes people happy, Jesse? Are the picks to win? So who do you like this week?
Yeah. So I got Bryson, 25. I was late to Brooks' party when he was in the 20s and then down to 16. Yeah, I got him at 14.
Down to 14 now? Jesus.
Yeah. John Rahm at 16. Wyndham Clark at 40. Hideki at 50. And I threw just a lotto on Taylor Gooch because finally we have a golf tournament that does not have an asterisk.
That's funny.
90-1.
Really see how good he is, right? See all that talk. This is fun. I'm going to look up my top 20s like usual because that's what I do. I can't stand these other ones. But some fun top 20s like Sepp's at 250. If you think you can do it for four tournaments in a row.
I got him at 300 on ESPN bet.
Well, there you go. Even better. I think Denny at 280 is interesting just because if it turns into a slower, like a putting contest, that bodes very well for Denny McCarthy. Burmeister at 320 plus 320 is a fun one because I know we both like him a lot, but I really think he can compete this week. So yeah. I might be overweight on Burmeister and that might suck come Friday afternoon, but I do like what we could see out of him. And then it's boring, but in majors, Patrick Reed at plus 400 to top 20 is not a bad bet, in my opinion.
It's just You're probably right.
Just what he does.
Sprinkle on that.
All right, final thoughts. Players Championship, second major of the season.
PGA Championship.
Sorry, PGA Championship. I wish it was the Players. PGA. Kidding.
Generally speaking, yeah, I know what you mean. But I just would say check the weather, you know, Wednesday. And just see if there's any kind of wave advantage. There's potential for some kind of wave advantage. I don't really know. It's just hard to forecast kind of this far out. So keep an eye on it. And, yeah, good luck.
Man, we got the Colonial next week. That's usually a pretty good field too. So that's not going to slow down anytime soon. All right. So, yeah, good luck, everybody. Have some fun this week. Some major championship golf. Remember, it's T70 in ties this week, full 156 field. If you have any questions, hit us up. Jesse's on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods Podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Indrick. And until next time, this is your 2024 PGA Championship preview. Catch you all next time.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie. And fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 5. South Dakota seemed like the perfect place to unplug. But I ended up connecting to the world around me. A world where each sunset was painted. Where I felt adventures pulse with every step. And where cold water trickling, pine swaying, and grunting bison
became my favorite soundtracks. I just wish I didn't have to leave. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.